Was it accurate for Craig Hesegawa when he emceed last night, when he introduced you, to situate you amongst those he did? Olson, Williams, Joanne Kiger, Frank O'Hara, and others who...
Well, I the thing I would add, I think it's certainly true of all those people, but for me it's very particularly... In terms of my project, in terms of Hammertown, the real early influences on it were also very much Canadian. I'm thinking of Daphne Marlatt's Vancouver Poems, a poem by Brian Fawcett from the 70s called Cottonwood Canyon, his poem about Prince George, and Jerry Gilbert's Vancouver, which, you know, was this kind of separate, not deliberate project, but was also very much concerned with place and the how that applied to the sort of evolving situation. And George Stanley is somebody I should mention, because the fact that he's very much a precursor to a lot of what I do in terms of how I formulated it for myself, because he was somebody from a very particular San Francisco who moved and made a very particular Vancouver, but then suddenly he's in Terrace, which, you know, makes Nanaimo, you know, it's like that's, I mean, that's the North. That's a completely separate, you know, a town like Nanaimo. I can be in Vancouver in a few hours. I can, you know, you can get to the Vancouver area, you know, but a place like Terrace.
That's out there.
That's out there. Yeah. You know, that's halfway up the province. And the fact that he was able to be in those circumstances and not lose any of the sense of, you know, the whatever kind of like influences and mythologies and particularities he's able to kind of bring and evoke in this landscape, that he didn't, there wasn't any sense of diminution or that he could, so the sense that one could make of, you know, there was always a kind of defensiveness connected with Nanaimo in terms of it being, you know, redneck and blah, 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 whatever. And just sort of like, instead of seeing it in those terms, seeing it in terms of George Perec. You see what I'm saying? It's seeing it in terms of somebody who's never been there, has no idea what it's like, but who nevertheless, being human, would have an imaginary of it when he, like, at least for the time he wrote those sentences. Something was in George Perec's head, and I just wanted to sort of try and, what if that was a real place that you could go to? You know, and what if that was a real place you could lay over as a kind of screen, the place where you actually were, and in a way to try and make sense of it.
You know, when you're talking about these Canadian poets, I go back to thinking, you know, being a, I don't know, Black Mountain projectivist, organic kind of guy, and see how the Vancouver poets really took that stance toward poem making, and you know, people like George Bowring and Fred Waugh they become poets laureate of the country, whereas Black Mountain here is over. We went on to language poetry, which of course happened there as well, but then also conceptual poetry. And it seems like all these poets you mention, they just seem in many ways so far ahead of where we've been in Seattle, for sure. Maybe not so much Oregon, because they had Gary Snyder and Philip Whalen and Leslie Scalapino and what have you. But there seems to me to be the Vancouver poets and the BC poets to be more tied into what's real, at least as far as I'm concerned, my own personal aesthetic.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a sense in which I would have to qualify that in by saying that that is something that BC poetry has lent on a tradition of that and hasn't always been able to sustain it, I think. I think it's problematic now. I mean, I don't want to... I mean, in a sense, becoming a poet laureate might not be the best thing, you know, not to, again, not to say anything about Fred or George, who both equipped themselves very admirably in the position and, you know, used it to do things for people, whatever.
But that's not a mark of progress, is what you're saying, or,
no,
or accomplishment. I mean, there's,
you know, back when I used to sort of get involved in Flame Wars, in very short terms, there's certain things in the poetry world that drive me in crazy on a certain level, like that you can't really talk about, like the whole idea of the institution of a laureate. You know, it's like, that's, you know, that has a particular kind of relationship with authority that is, you know, it's problematic. And, you know, like contests that where you have to pay money to enter and things like that. It's like that things that are expected of poets now.
And it's sad. That's a sad development.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's by all means, you know, have poetry contests, or by all means, try and solicit subscriptions to your magazine. You know, but I think the sort of system of poetry as it's set up now is designed to take advantage of an awful lot of naivety, and especially in young people, but in, I think in all walks of life, you know, it's... anyway, I'm getting off topic.
No, but I mentioned that they're Poets Laureate because, you know, there was one...
No.
Go ahead. I mean, Williams, that post was essentially taken away from him, and he's the only guy from the, you know, outside from the New American Poetry who would ever be in a position like that. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we get our Ted Kuzers and our Billy Collins and our,
yeah.
you know, our very conventional poets.
But there is a sense to, I guess, maybe talking about the back to the sort of idea of laureateship in which Canada's acceptance of those people, like the group of, you know, our painting tradition, our sort of artistic tradition, there's something a little... that diffuses it, in a sense that the you could never imagine Charles Olson being given a position of, you know, important that or no legitimized in that sort of sense, you know, in a sense Creeley became an institution in that sense as he, in his later years. You know, he was a revered institution in that sense of that it could have been conceivable that he might have gotten a laureateship
at some point.
You know,
but Charles Olson getting it might be something like Bill Bissett getting it.
Or Bill Bissett getting it, or, you know, or Jack Spicer getting it.
Right.
You know, it's like,
well, they wouldn't take it.
Yeah, and there's always a sort of dog in the mangerish Jack Spicer kind of Ed Dorn. It's not as strong now as it was when I was in my 20s, but it's still very much a part of, you know, I'm not a joiner or a, you know, as opposed it gets difficult to sustain a kind of rebelliousness because it could be obnoxious, but it's like, that's sort of more my mental habits at this point.
Yeah.